But a fantastic morning. You know, I was looking at the clock and I'm like, we're going long in worship. Noel, we're going long in worship. That's what you get when you have the worship leader talk. I'm like, huh? No, I'm kidding. So we're going to talk about investing in relationships today. I'm super excited. I always, every time he say, you know, Bill says to me, man, I want you to speak. I think it's just such an honor and privilege to be up here to talk to you and really pray about what God has for me, for you, for that day. So let's talk about investing. When you think about investing, what's the first thing that comes to your mind, okay? For me, I think of like Wall Street, you know, like the guys walking around in their suits and ties, you know, and the women in their power suits, you know, and then everybody's got that piece of paper and they're flinging it around. You can't understand what anybody's saying. Everyone's yelling at the same time and they're flicking around that piece of paper. And for me, it's like, I think of the movie, and I equate things to movies a lot. If you more you'll know me, the more you'll see that. I equate things to movies. For some reason, when I think about Wall Street and investing, you know what movie comes to my mind? Quicksilver with Kevin Bacon. Have you guys ever remember that movie? It's like he's like a bike messenger from way back in the day. I think he probably rode his bike on Wall Street, which is probably why I remember it. But what do they want to do, man? They want to sell, sell, and sell some more. And the point of investing is what? To buy low and sell high. So you get the most profit potential in what you're doing. Like, you don't want to buy something here and have it sold here, right? For those of you at home, my hands are only about a foot apart rather than from me from being my foot to my head. You want them when they've bottomed out so that they have the most potential. They can only go up from there. Sometimes we invest quite foolishly and we lose bad. And sometimes we invest very wisely and we reap the reward for that risk that we took. I don't think anybody would disagree with this statement that investment requires risk. Is there anybody that disagrees with that statement? If you do, see me after church. We can talk about investments. There's no risk in your investment. There's a chance that the bottom falls out and you lose everything. I'm going to talk about my dad a couple different times this morning. So this is the first probably of many stories you're going to hear. My dad worked for United, okay, for like 40-something years. United Airlines is what I mean, in San Francisco. And he had all of his 401k in what? United Airlines stock. That's what they buy, you know. That's like, hey, this is what we're going to do. And so what happened was, is 9/11, and their stock, and they looked at him and they're like, it's time for you to retire, sir. And so he retired with, what, I think 30% of what he normally had. They invested. He made an investment, and it was a poor investment. Now, for me, I'm scared of investments. I'm just going to tell you honestly. That's just me being transparent, honest. I'm going to do it a lot today, so might as well start off on the right foot. I don't like to invest. I'm not a dude that's got a portfolio. Oh, yes, indeed, I have a portfolio. Not that if you do, you're like that, but I'm just, that's how I equate the portfolio. Oh, shake my head. I don't have any of that. Like, I'm scared to death, to be honest. I'm like, I don't know. I'll put it under, I'll bury it in the ground. Oh, wait, Jesus talked about that. Well, I won't. There are many of us who are just like me. We're scared to invest. We're scared to kind of risk and put ourselves out there. Okay, so we're going to talk about money really quickly. So I remember when I was growing up, like I thought my parents were rich. I really did, like for a long time. Put aside the fact that we grew up in San Jose in a two-bedroom apartment in the ghetto. Like, I'm talking like you move the picture frame and cockroaches fly out from underneath. They scurry out. They didn't fly. This is not Hawaii or Louisiana. They don't fly around here. But you move it and they fly. And then two long buildings and this gigantic alleyway down the back. And I remember on several different occasions sitting in my backyard, which is probably about as big as this black part of the stage, and seeing 30-on-30 game fight about to happen. And we're not talking, this is not Michael Jackson, you know, wrap the arms up and dance around. No, we're talking bats and knives and mean, very scary people. And I'm very young, looking through a peephole. And I remember my brother standing in front of the gate with a machete. And he's looking at me going, and if anybody comes in, I'm going to protect you, bro. Like, I'm going to protect you. There's all of that, yet I thought my parents were rolling in the dough. I mean, it's the truth. I did. They weren't. I remember having a conversation with my dad about money. I wanted money. Now, listen, I always talk to my mom about money. I never talk to my dad. This is me being honest. I could manipulate her. So I talked to her. If there was any money to be had, I could get it out of my mom. My dad, it was a whole different story, but she wasn't around, so I had to talk to my dad. He walks in after being, you know, from work, and he has his paycheck in his hand. And I'm like, hey, Dad, let me get some cash. You know, I'm going to go to the arcade with my friends. For you guys that don't know, an arcade was where they had all the stand-up video games in a big room. And everything was a quarter, and the real good ones were 2 quarters, and then hard driving was like 75 cents because it had a clutch, and you were like, yeah. That was what an arcade was. I'm going to give you a lesson in negotiating. So parents, I apologize for this. Never ask for what you want. Ask for more than what you want. So I knew I needed $5, so I asked for 20. Figuring when we get down to 5, he'd feel like he won. And I'm like, that's all I wanted to begin with. But, so what happens was, as I'm talking to my dad, and he's, no, no, son, no, 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 no. And I just flew up the hand. I'm like, you know what, you're cheap, and you're selfish. Now, if you know my dad's full-blooded Italian, people. This was a death sentence, and for some reason, I was like flying off the handle. Oh, okay, you're cheap and selfish. Oh, I'm more like this. I don't care. But he didn't get mad. He looked at me, and he's like, boom, and he slams his paycheck onto the table, and he goes, look at that. So I walk over to it all. Like, I've won. He gave me the whole thing. And I walk over to it, and I look, expecting to see like 9,999.99, and I saw 0.00. Now, my dad, I've come to find out, my dad had a business that he was the sole proprietorship that went bankrupt, and so the government garnished 100% of his wages. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So he looked at me and he says, you tell me how I'm supposed to feed you, how I'm supposed to clothe you, and how I'm supposed to provide a roof over your head on that. Oh. That hurt. That hurt. I was never satisfied as a kid. I look at it and I see it in my kids as well. Now listen, my household has a whole different set of problems. We haven't had any bankruptcies. I'm not getting my wages garnished by the government like that. But like I can talk to my kids and I can be like, hey, you know, if you do these, you know, you'll get a $3 allowance. I'm like, we want 10. Like, what's up with a 3? Like, in order, like, if you give me 3, I actually have to save my money in order to get something. Are you crazy? Like, I want to just, you give me the money, and you drive me to Target, by the way. Free of charge. And then I get to spend it there. Like, I don't want to have to save this money. What are you talking about? And even not even with money. I remember my son, he grabbed this thing of chips, right? And he's like, these chips are amazing. Look at these chips, yes. So I was like, sweet, it's snack time. I'm like, hey, bud, you can have some of these chips. He's like, well, I want that. Like the minute he knew that he could have the chips, he didn't want the chips. He wanted, and I'm like thinking to myself, why are these little boogers never satisfied? But then I think to myself, did I grow up a satisfied and content kid? No. Not even close, not even close. Listen, they seek to be satisfied, just like we all do, so they shove these things in, whatever it is, toys and money and whatever they want, into this hole. We kind of know what fills that hole, right? Like, we should. Like, the relationship with Jesus, like, God fills that hole, but yet some of us still shove things into that hole because we haven't put the right thing in there. It's our investment in them that can show this and can reveal it to them. It isn't our investment that happens. You know, I hate the fact that my brother and I made my parents feel as though they were inadequate, as though they weren't doing it. Listen, my brother and I, we ate like barbarians. We went to Sizzler, had a Sizzler shrimp eating contest. Like, I ate 108. He ate 108. I ate 96, those little suckers. We never starved. We didn't have the cool clothes back then, guys. It was LA gear and Guess jeans. What? You're like, what are those? Yeah, right. We didn't have those, but you know what? We were clothed. We were clothed. I look at how some people grew up, and man, compared, we had it pretty good. I know if my father was here right now, he would admit to me, yeah, that's how you made me feel, of course. My mom, she would totally lie to me. It's just the way she is to try to make me feel better. No, honey. But if she was here, if she was still here, she'd tell me. If she was being honest, yeah, you did. We take this and we look at this investment in a family sense. What does it look like to you? Now, there are some people that believe that investing in your family is taking them out and doing things with them, like cool things, like going to Disneyland and family vacations. Yeah! There are others that believe that investing in your family means that you're just there. Hey, you know, you're sitting on a couch, I'm sitting on a couch, and we're in the room together. I'm home. I'm investing in you. I would argue against both of those if the time spent is not intentional, whether with your spouse or your children, is not intentional. And then there are others, kind of fall back into what I talked about earlier, they're just scared to invest. Or they don't place enough priority on it, so they just don't do it. You know, I talk to my staff every week in live about intentionality, being intentional with the students. What does that mean? That means sitting there and understanding where they are. It doesn't mean speaking Jesus to them every single second of every day. Jesus, 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 Jesus. No. It means waiting and understanding when they're open to it, when you can talk about it, and when you just need to sit back and listen. To understand where their needs are and how you can meet those needs the best way that you can possibly do that. Let me ask you a question. Now, it seems like a very foolish question, but what do you think is more important to your spouse? What do you believe is more important to your children, your time or your money? A lot of people are like, time, time, time. Some people think that's interchangeable. Some people are like, well, guess what? No, I'm gonna take the time and put it off the side, and I'm going to make a bunch of money. And then I'm going to come and I'm just going to get all that time back. But see, they call it lost time for a reason. I got this guy that I know, and he has a son, and his son's 13, and he doesn't see his son at all. Barely calls, doesn't see him. He could go see him. He's got the financial means to do it, but he just doesn't. He's prioritized money. He's the most sure dude I've ever met. The fact that he's going to be rich. He's so sure. He's like, dude, without question, I'm rich. I'm going to be rich. This is how it's going to happen. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to show my son, look at this. This is why I didn't spend time with you, because I was creating this for you. And I looked at him, I was like, do you think your son's going to care about that? Where were you when he needed you? Where was the investment in your son? I ask him because I can't wrap my head around the fact of how you can be away from your children. I cannot do it. My head doesn't work that way. I'm away from my kids and I'm like, I wonder what they're doing. Oh yeah, okay, they're annoying sometimes. I get it, but I just want to be around my kids, man. And he told me something that haunts me to this day. I said, how do you do it? And he goes, you love them less. That's the only way you can stay sane. Is if you love them less. He's clearly taken money and made that as a priority, believing that once he has the money, that he'll be able to get that time back and invest in even better ways. I've talked to so many people whose dads have been absent, and they're like, we didn't want his money. We wanted him. That's all we wanted. How do we invest in our families and not just spend time? How do we invest in our families and not just go through the motions? We've talked about investment a lot, but I'm a word dude. I want you to know that if we're talking about a word like investing, I'm going to define it. I always am going to define it. Why? Because I really think it helps. Helps you to see. Helps you to really get a grasp of it. Investment means provide or endow someone or something with a particular quality or attribute. Now, this wasn't the first definition that popped up. This was the second one. The first one was about money. But I think this one really applies. How can we invest in our families in this matter? One way is to serve your spouse, to serve your children. Can you pour into your spouse and learn together? Can you pour into your children the things that God has taught you? How can you serve your children as their parents? Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, let me just define something really quickly for you guys. That training up a child in the way he should go is not what you think. It's in the ways of the Lord and the way God thinks. It's not how your dad trained you or your mom trained you or any kind of traditions you have in your house. It's not any of those things. It's training them up in the ways of the Lord. We have to be present with them. We have to be intentional in the time we do spend. Listen, hanging out on the couch, in that sense, ain't going to cut it. Working more overtime is not going to cut it. being with them and really investing is what we're called to do. Listen, when it talks about training someone up, you can't train someone if you're not investing in them. It's impossible. Have you ever tried to train somebody to do your job or train somebody to work alongside you and you don't invest in their training? Oh my gosh. They have no idea what they're doing. I understand that children are going to make their own decisions. I completely get that. But what foundation have we laid for them, helped to lay for them as they move forward? What are you helping them to acquire? Are you training them in the ways of the Lord? Or are you just letting them figure it out? Man, I remember my parents just let me figure it out. I remember walking in to my dad with a shaver, a razor, and going, "Dad, I want to use this." And he's like, "Not now, son. I don't have time for that." To this day, I don't know how to use one. It's an electric shaver, people. I just don't know how to use one. How did I learn how to tie the tie? The internet taught me. There was no investment there. God doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to parent in such a manner. Investing in your children, in their relationship, means understanding. Patience. Lord, help us. It means patience. And I know that's hard sometimes, but that's what it means. Transparency from you when you mess up, when you say things you shouldn't. Transparency. But all of those things done in love, everything, cover it all in love. How can you serve your spouse or your husband? Men, roll up those sleeves. Help. In the house. So you worked all day. I get it. Come home. Help with the cooking. Come home. Help with the cleaning. Listen, have you not heard anything I said? Vacuuming is instant gratification, people. It's clean. And it's dirty. And it's clean. It's amazing. And then they have the lines, and you can get the lines like perfectly even and spaced apart. It's like an OCD person's dream. Do some of that stuff, man. You know, the housework in the home is not just for the woman. That is a chauvinist and old point of view. And so let me tell you, I grew up in a home where that was modeled. My mom's this little Japanese lady. She walked around, whatever you need, whatever you need, whatever you need. My mom cooked and cleaned and did the lunches and did everything. Oh yeah, by the way, she was also a full-time nurse at a convalescent home. And she did everything. So that's what I saw. But that's not how it should be, I'm telling you right now. Ladies, ask your husband what you can do to help him. Okay, so guys, we're you know, we don't like being vulnerable. We hold on to stuff. There's stuff that we just need to let go. And some of that stuff you can help us with. But we're not the best communicators. So ask us what you can do. Just this week, man, I was like, you know what? I'm like uber stressed right now. For you some more seasoned people, that means a lot stressed. Like, I'm really stressed right now. And she goes, "What can I do to help?" And I'm like, "Well, I have speaking on Sunday, speaking on Sunday evening and morning, and then I have meetings during the week, and I have a different assignment because it's midterm week in school." And so I laid it all out, and I'm like, "Nothing. You can help with nothing." But the simple fact that she asked me helped put me at ease. And then I was like, "You know what you can do? Pray for me. Pray that I would use my time wisely, that my stress level wouldn't rise, that I would do good work, and that I would convey the message that God wants me to convey. Pray for me. Pray for each other. Pray with each other." And every time I say this, to be honest, I feel like a hypocrite. I don't pray with her as much as I should. I know, we're still in the awkward stage, you know, it's like hands up. But when you pray with your wife, there's some of you that have done it and do it on a regular basis. I applaud you. Sir, ma'am, I applaud you, because there's something special about coming together with your wife, hearing her heart, letting her hear yours, coming together with your husband, hearing his heart, letting them hear yours. There's something special about that, of stopping and spending a moment in prayer before God. You can serve each other by bearing each other's burdens, sharing the workload, and that means the discipline of the kids. It's not always the dude's job to discipline the kids, and we're not always the scare tactic. And if you have a passive husband, then ladies, it's not always you. You have to share it. Investment in your spouse means speaking about God, learning together in a life group, praying with each other, showing patience, transparency of your mistakes, and the forgiveness of those fully people. That means you don't tag it along behind you and rip it out every 20 seconds when your other spouse messes up. Your spouse messes up, not your other spouse.
Whoa.
That's a slip of the tongue. You don't do that, man. You forgive. That means you cut it because you're the one carrying the baggage. So you let it go. Everything covered in love. Listen, we've heard this a million times, but I think really, you need to print it out. Stick it somewhere as you see it every single day. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7 says, love is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Everything you do must be done in love. Your investment in your children and your spouse must be done in love. It cannot be done out of obligation. Let me ask you a question that does your investment in your spouse and your children look like this? Because if it doesn't, it should. If it doesn't, it absolutely should. Is your investment in your relationships done in love? We're going to rock, I know. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Man, you can serve other people with your family as a whole unit. Go out and serve others. You can make an investment in their lives by showing them God's love, by modeling that behavior to them, by showing them what it looks like to be more generous to those who don't have as much, to the less fortunate. You can invest in your community and the people around you by doing this. What value do you place on your relationships? Are they more important than your own desires? Are they more important than what you want for you? Investment takes sacrifice. But let me tell you, the sacrifice is always worth it. Investment in your relationships with your family and community comes with intentionality in serving them. The intentionality in serving them, pouring time into them, in action, in speech. Not just being together. It's more than just being together. Sitting on the couch is fine. My wife and I love to do that every once in a while. York peppermint patty bites. I'm the Kit Kat dude. Just in case you need to know that. You do need to know that. Modeling Christ-like behavior and above all else, having everything that you do covered in love. Period. I love this verse and I save this verse for last. The point is this. And the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. It's a great reminder. What are you giving out? What seeds are you planting in your spouse and in your children? Sowing means planting seeds. Do not sow into your relationship sparingly. Anything that needs to grow needs nurturing. It needs investment and nurturing. Do not sow into it sparingly, sow into it bountifully, invest wholeheartedly, and watch the results. I'm going to leave you guys with this. Invest in your relationships by showing Christ's love over and over again. Invest in your relationships by spending intentional time and speaking of the Lord and learning about the Lord together. Invest in your relationships by modeling Christ-like behavior in serving each other and the people around you. We're made to be relational people. God doesn't want this what he's given us to go to waste. Listen, he didn't grab a rib out of Adam and go, bam, Eve, for y'all to just to sit on the couch together, to grow in him, in the knowledge of him. And listen very closely. He did not bless us with the ability to care for his children, for us not to speak to them about him. You see how crazy that sounds? He's given you his children. And yet you're not talking about their true father. My last question is this. What are you investing in? Who are you investing in? Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time that we can come together. God, we thank you so much for the investment that you make in our lives every single day. Father, help us to model your son's behavior. God, Christ, have a Christ-like attitude and behavior, as it says in Philippians, God. Not to count ourselves more important than we really are, God, but to value others more than we value ourselves. God, help us to invest in our spouses, invest in our children, understanding it's an investment in you. We love you. We thank you for this time. Father, help us to understand we cannot do it alone and that our children and our spouse are a gift from you. Help us to talk about you, to learn about you, to love you with everything that we have. Father, we cannot do it alone. We need you. Help us to really understand what it means to invest. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you so much for the way that you give and serve, for the way that you do invest in this church and in God's ministries that he's doing here. He's using you in a